Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Doug Gottlieb Show rolls on Hour 3. Going to take you to New York in moments. We do have Thursday Night Football. It is not a good game in terms of records of teams. It's like these Thursday Night NFL end games are interesting in that how do they find a way to get rid of this crap early, right? And, you know, I don't think early in the season, but before the season, we thought it would be this bad. It should be pointed out the Broncos, just a litany of injuries, highlighted probably by Von Miller, and then, you know, now you're losing your starting quarterback as well. And then the Jets have some injuries, Le'Veon Bell, but they just stink. And then the question is, Adam Gase, does he get, I thought he might get Kiffin down the runway after the last game. But to me, you know, there's different reports. Some, he loses tonight, he's gone. Ian Rapoport, no, haven't heard that. We'll get to Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News. He would know. He'll join us in a second. I just feel like, no, the talent is not there. Okay, talent's not there. But when they played the Niners to have half their team. No Kittle, no Garoppolo, no wide receivers, no Deebo Samuel. Defense is just litany of injuries. And they're not competitive. And it feels like they don't want to play for him. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe they're just terrible. And they just don't have the skill position players to let Sam Darnold play well. And maybe outside of the first round pick, what appears to be a hit, the offensive line isn't good enough. But I don't know. And then you got the Broncos, who are interesting nonetheless, because Vic Fangio is trying to win now with his third starting quarterback of the season already. Let's welcome in Manish Mehta. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. In your mind, you've covered this team for a long time. Do the players want to play for Gase?
I think the players want to play for each other. Is that me dodging your question?
No. I mean, it's one of the things in the NFL where at some point in time, you may not like the head coach, but hey, your film is your film. And if you don't bring it, you're not going to have a job next year, whether it's with your team or with another team. So I do understand it. But it does feel, at least early in the season, like Jacksonville's not great. They're not super talented, but they're all in on trying to play hard. I don't get that sense from the Jets.
Well, I'll say this: before training camp started, a couple days before Jamal Adams was traded, he told me point blank that he does not believe that Adam Gase is the right person to take the Jets to the promised land. He does not believe that he is a good leader, and he does not believe that he connects with everybody in the building. And I can tell you, Doug, with great certainty that Jamal Adams is not in the minority with that opinion.
Okay, so what about Darnold? There is thoughts that you know, the reason he got the job was Peyton picked up the phone and said, you know, if you want to have a quarterback, you want to get the most out of him, this is your guy. Where is Sam Darnold in his relationship with Adam Gase?
Well, Sam Darnold likes every coach he's ever had, you know, dating back to peewee football.
Sure.
So he's never going to throw anybody under the bus, publicly or privately. That being said, it's obvious that he has regressed. And as you said, Adam Gase was brought here to develop Sam Darnold. I thought not only has Gase done a poor job, I think the organization as a whole, starting from the top with ownership down to the new general manager, Joe Douglas, they've done a poor job fostering an optimal environment for Darnold. Because if you look around the league, whether it's Arizona, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cleveland, what do they all have in common? They have given their young quarterbacks weapons to foster this environment at a critical stage. Because right now you can't ask a 23-year-old quarterback to carry your team. You're going to ask him to do that when he's ready to do that. But in the interim, you got to bolster the pieces around him. You've seen teams throughout history do that. You saw Seattle do that with Russell Wilson when he was growing into the position. That's how to build a winner. You're seeing that happening in Buffalo right now. You know, and it's paying off because Josh Allen is a much better player than he was when he came into this league. And how has he done that? He's done that because Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have given him pieces. the Jets have not given Sam Darnold nearly enough pieces, whether it's offensive line or playmakers, to bring out the best. So what do you get? You get a guy trying to be a superhero, trying to make every play, and inevitably, if you try to do that, you make mistakes, and Sam Darnold has made plenty of them so far.
Where is Joe Douglas on Sam Darnold? I know. I mean, like, is there any thought to bailing on him at this point in time?
No, they're going to obviously see how the season plays out, and I know that Joe Douglas believes in Darnold. But it's like in anything in the NFL, you believe in a person until you don't.
Right.
And look, I don't think the Jets are bad enough to ultimately have the number one pick. But for argument's sake, if they somehow landed the number one pick in the 2021 draft, they will take Trevor Lawrence and they will trade Sam Darnold. That's not even going to be a discussion. But I don't think that's going to happen. And if that doesn't happen, I don't think there's another quarterback that they would be ready to bail on Sam Darnold for. So, there's a lot of football left to be played. I think people still believe in Darnold. It's just that I think more and more people in the organization are coming to the realization that Darnold does not have the right mentor to get him to where they think he can get to.
So if you had to give it a percent chance, what are the percent chances that Gase gets broomed if they lose tonight?
Well, they're not going to fire him, especially this early in the season. They're not firing him in season, I don't think, because the Johnsons have owned his team for over 20 years. They have never fired a coach in season. Even when things got rough a few years ago with Todd Bowles, they let him ride it out. I think, barring something catastrophic over the next month or so, my anticipation is that when Woody Johnson comes back from the UK as the ambassador for the Trump administration, he'll gauge the situation. And ultimately, if there is going to be a change at the head coaching spot, I don't believe it's going to happen until after the season.
Isn't it interesting? Like, they have, like, Bowles kind of can appear boring at the press conferences, but I've heard he's kind of a quirky dude, obviously doing a marvelous job in Tampa. But it is interesting that here the Jets are kind of a colorful franchise, and, they got some colorful – Adam Gase is a little different. I know they're all kind of different, but man, the last three have all been kind of different sort of characters.
They have, and I think what the Jets miscalculated this time around was they didn't take enough stock in how important it is to be a leader. They were so focused and consumed on finding somebody to bring the best out of the quarterback, because that's all they really had was the quarterback and Jamal Adams. They didn't value leadership. And there's a massive leadership void at the top of the coaching tree here in New York right now.
I have another thought. Manish Mehta joining us, New York Daily News. He does an amazing job covering the team. He knows the entire league. I actually think their miscalculation was more than that. It reminds me of the Giants' miscalculation of replacing Eli with Geno Smith. And here's how. Like, look, Geno Smith, maybe in any other town in America, you could throw him in for the starter. You're like, he was a starting quarterback. We're trying to make a change. We give the backup a shot before we get the young guy ready. But because in New York City, people had established that Geno Smith sucked, and because he's a Jet, he can't replace Eli Manning, all of a sudden everybody ended up getting themselves fired because of it. I think what happens is when you bring Adam Gase and he's Peyton's guy, that's one thing. But in the same division as the Miami Dolphins, where he just got fired, and he had established a bit of a reputation for himself as being a little quirky and aloof when he's in Miami, players talk, the league knows, and then, there's a lack of buy-in because they know who Gase is, as opposed to some unknown coordinator who hadn't been a head coach before. I think they didn't understand how reputations carry over from organization to organization. Any fairness to that thought?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely fair. And I think that the angst from the fan base was rooted in what you just said. They saw Adam Gase up close and personal for the previous 3 years, and specifically in the previous 2 years when the Dolphins were an uninspiring team. So if you're going to bring in a guy that you should know inside and out because he's coaching in your division,
right,
he better have had recent success, and he didn't have success. Personality issues are pretty obvious. He is a quirky guy, a mercurial person. He does bristle, I think they made a mistake. It's still early in the season. They did rally last year, even though it was a soft schedule on the back half. But ultimately, I think what Jamal Adams said is going to be proven right, which is that Adam Gase is not the right person to get the Jets back to relevance.
Yeah, it's craziness. Is there any good in this? Like, Mekhi Becton looks like the real deal at left tackle.
Yeah, look, he arguably, Doug, is their best offensive player. It's hard to say that. You know, it's a rookie, three games in. He's dealing with a shoulder issue right now. He fell to them, let's be honest. The guy fell to them at 11. I think he had failed a drug test, or there were some drug test issues that dropped him out of the top 10. He wasn't even the Jets' top choice at left tackle. He was their last option that they felt comfortable with. And if he was not going to be there at 11, the Jets had a deal to move down in the draft. So they got fortunate in that sense. It looks like he's going to be a quality high-end player. But you can't be a playoff team, a playoff contender, a Super Bowl contender with just a left tackle. You need a lot more than that. And the Jets, you know, they brought in a lot of new faces this offseason. Very few of them have made any kind of impact.
What's the stat? I mean, is Le'Veon hurt? Are they trying to? Can they move him? Can they get out of that? What's that status?
Well, they tried to move him at the trade deadline last year, but his contract made it prohibitive. And there were teams that were interested. They were just not interested in taking on that contract. And he, understandably, was not interested in restructuring his contract because he had just sat out an entire year because he didn't believe that the Steelers were paying him what he was worth. So if they could have moved him at the deadline, if they could have moved him this past offseason, they would have done so. They will try to move him again at the trade deadline. I don't think there's a market for him, frankly, at what his contract is saying he's going to get. So I think the inevitable resolution is a divorce after the season. That's where his guaranteed money runs out. And it's unfortunate. I thought he was on a Hall of Fame track when he left Pittsburgh. His career has taken a turn for the worse since he came to the Jets.
No, he's never been the same, and it's fascinating. It really, really is fascinating. I mean, there's a little. I mean, Melvin Gordon to a lesser extent, kind of similar thing. You're going to see Melvin tonight with the with the Broncos, where he wanted 13, they offered him 10. He sat out half the season, had a disappointing year, signed for 8, and even that is probably overpaying him. He wasn't on a Hall of Fame track, but he was a star running back with a good team that really believed in him, and now he's the more overpaid of the two running backs they have in Denver. Kind of fascinating that this game's going to be played, 2-0-3 teams playing in front of no fans. I do wonder what it would be like if there were fans there.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many fans would actually have showed up.
I know.
Doug, based on how things have gone. But look, no home field advantage or road disadvantage certainly does help in terms of crowd noise when you're talking about how Brett Rypien is going to deal with his first game. But I look back at what Sam Darnold dealt with 3 years ago. His third professional game was a Thursday night in Cleveland against the Greg Williams defense. And Greg Williams brings pressure in unorthodox, unconventional ways. It's confusing enough for a veteran quarterback. I can't imagine what it's going to be like for an undrafted kid making his first start on a short week with a rookie center, Lloyd Cushenberry, who's had his own issues adjusting line calls, looking at different blitzes pre-snap. And Greg Williams is very good at disguising that. I think it's going to be very difficult for the quarterback in this spot. And that's why, even though I think the Jets are going to win, it's not a pro-Jets pick as much as it is having so many factors working against Denver. From all the injuries to this young, green quarterback, I think it's a tall order for Denver to come in and win this game.
Great stuff. Manish, awesome stuff as always. Can't wait to read what you write about it tomorrow. And thanks so much for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks, Doug. Take care.
Manish Mehta joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. LeBron was incredible last night, and Kyrie Irving continues to be, Kyrie Irving, which means doing interviews and saying ridiculous things. We'll dive into that next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I want to play for you what Kyrie Irving said on the Boardroom Podcast with Kevin Durant. And look, you do hear Kevin Durant chime in like, hey, Jeff Vaughn could be head coach one day as well. This is the most honest thing I can ever say to you. Okay, I think both of those guys are intelligent guys. They're not idiots. Okay, but I want to also judge them on a fair scale, right? I think that one of the things that has always bothered me, and I think I'm sure bothers them, is the old kind of dumb jock. We're just a dumb jock, right? Because we used to be viewed in many ways as the dumb jock, and sometimes guys play down to that. I mean, Terry Bradshaw's a really smart guy, and then he kind of does the, oh, gee, shucks, because Terry Bradshaw, when he's starting quarterback of the Steelers, people said he was dumb. So when coach said he was dumb. These are all facts. Mike Golic, when he's famously a radio host over the other place, like he used to play down to the all, gee, I'm just dumb, big, fat defensive lineman, right? Mike Golic's brilliant. He's no dope. Rob Gronkowski's at cottage industry of being Gronk. Oh, Gronk. You know, but my Gronk is anything. He's nothing less than really, really smart and sound with his money. Like dumb players don't get drafted in New England. Dumb players don't last in New England. And you might say, well, Aaron Hernandez. Okay, first of all, obviously, he was dumb out to you. But as a football player, he has super high football IQ from a football family. A little bit different. Okay. Gronk apparently has lived off all his endorsements, never spent a penny of what he actually earns from salary. He's not an idiot. So when I say that Kyrie and Kevin Durant, they're not idiots. They're not dumb jock guys. But they're guys that are kind of feeling themselves in terms of everybody telling them how smart they are. And they're not that smart. Like, you ever walk into a meeting with people? I've been in these, and they're like dudes, Silicon Valley dudes, and they're talking about things like, I have no idea. You just nod your head and go, oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, one of the flaws to President Obama was he was really smart, but he could be really boring because he wanted to try and explain to everybody away everything. And you're just like, I don't care that much. You know, I just don't. And he'd go, he's basically like a history professor and giving the whole history of everything. Like, all right, man, can we just move along here? Right? But these guys are not at that level of intelligence. And they've been told by so many people, like, man, Kyrie is just smart, brilliant. Like, for a basketball player, yes. In the real world, yeah, no. Because you have to have a little bit of emotional intelligence to understand how the things you say will land on the American public. This one is not going to land well. This is Kyrie Irving on a podcast talking about Steve Nash, their new head coach.
We don't need somebody to come in and put their coaching philosophy on everything that we're doing and change up the wheel and, yo, you guys need to start doing this. And we start running on the first day of practice. It's just like, no, I don't really see us having a head coach. You know what I mean? Like, KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach.
Jacques Vaughn could do it one day. It's a collaborative effort, I think, on our part.
It is a collaborative effort. There is no question there, right? Like the best coaches empower players. But at the end of the day, what they say goes. You know? And I just listen, I'm dealing with, so I have a youth teams, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And last night I had this great practice. And we added a couple kids from a buddy of mine's team because of COVID, they've shut it down and they're just doing workouts and really good kids, probably better players than we have, who've been really well coached. But you add to our mix and we have nice kids. So I get a call from a parent today. And the parent, you know, my kid's the best kid and he needs to be like, I said, look, we had a really nice practice with a really good group. What does that matter? Well, it matters a lot to me. I'm not trying to win a national championship with a group of 6th graders. I'm not trying to win every tournament at the gold level and travel all across the country and compete to show how great I can be and how great my kid can be. I'd like my son, who I coach, to get better, for him to be a part of a good, well-coached team. So I give him the tools when it gets to be real basketball, he's a 9th grader, he goes to somebody else and I give him to somebody else. He doesn't have to be told how to guard ball screens. He knows how to move the ball. He knows how to read, are they in man or are they in zone? He knows how to play off of penetration. He knows how to break a press. He knows how to do all these things that you have to teach somebody to do. Give them the tools to do. And then he's good enough or he's not good enough. That's up to him, right? And hopefully maybe keep them together. And maybe then we play in the big AAU tournaments as they get older and you try and compete and play in the Peach Jam if that returns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you deal with parents who think they know everything. Like, I told him this. If you want to coach, if you want to do it a different way, you're allowed to. Get your kid, get four other kids, put the money in the tournament, throw some jerseys on, and play. And if that's how you want to do it, fine. Or if you want to play for somebody else, play for somebody else. I do know what I'm doing. And if you don't think I know what I'm doing, I'm not offended by it. I'm really not. I'm more offended that guys tell me they, I respect you. Well, if you did, then you wouldn't pick up the phone and call me. You don't. Well, my kid's the best kid. No, if he was the best kid, everybody would know he's the best kid. And even if he is, that doesn't even matter. Is he getting better? Does he know how to play around others? Otherwise, you create what Kyrie is. And Kyrie's dad was a player, but I can guess Kyrie's dad was a pain in the ass. Because if I was his dad, I'd pick up the phone right now and go, are you an idiot? You haven't even played a minute for Steve Nash. You haven't played a minute with Kevin Durant, and you're already going like, well, head coach, we don't need a head coach. This is what Kyrie Irving said. Man, I can't wait to play for Steve Nash, a guy that was that unbelievable player and a leader. If I can learn just a little bit of that and add to him the skills that I've been working on and play with Kevin, who he's learned from Steve Kerr, and he's won championships and I've won a championship. We can put all that knowledge together and Steve can lead us and I can lead us. Like, that's great. That's all I want to hear from my point guard. Your point guard is saying, we don't need a head coach. We don't need some dude telling us to run first day of practice. Bro. I don't know if you know this, but people around the NBA think you're a moron. You were the guy who said they shouldn't go and play in the bubble because it would take away from the cause. Right? That was you, wasn't it? Yeah. All those guys that didn't go to the bubble because it would take away from the cause. Has anyone heard from any of them? Anyone? I'm waiting. Avery Bradley, where is he? Think Avery Bradley wants to be down the bubble right now winning NBA championship? Wait till they cut him out of the playoff cut. I ain't giving Avery Bradley a playoff cut. He didn't come in the bubble. He wasn't 3 months away from his family. Don't even come back in the locker room next year, Avery. Brooklyn Nets could have been playing for an NBA championship. Nope. It's one of the worst cuts I've heard in sports. It's not the worst. It's one of the worst cuts I've heard in a long time in sports.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Let's go to Vegas, shall we?
My money right.
Are you tired of losing money every week?
Yeah, boy.
Do you want to be in the know?
How about new?
Well, we might not know, but Vegas always knows.
Vegas!
Bring out the bottles!
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Let's go to Vegas. Steve Fezzik joins us. Check him out at Fezzik Sports. Can only be found at pregame.com. Pregame.com. Let's welcome in. What do you do with tonight's game? We have Brett Rypien starting against with the depleted Denver team going against Sam Darnold and the winless Jets.
I passed this game, Doug, but I got to tell you, I played a lot of props, and I expect a very slow start. We saw Donald throw two awful pick sixes last week. Rypien, completely unproven, first start in the NFL. I think this starts out slow. I played no score first 7 minutes. I played first half to go under 20 points.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to even judge the Jets' defense because, well, you say it's like, well, it's 15th against the pass. Yeah, but people don't have to pass because they're playing from a lead, so they just run the football. You know, this early in the season, we don't have that good a look other than the Jets are bad, but the Broncos appear to be bad as well. All right, let's kind of just sprinkle around the league and you give me your thoughts. The Chargers, I thought that was a surprising loss to the Carolina Panthers. They do feel like Justin Herbert is their quarterback in the future. They are happy with him, but he's going to take on a Tampa team, which seems to have figured some stuff out in Denver. Tampa's a 7-point favorite in the game. I didn't see the over under. I thought was like what 43? I think in the game. Do you have
43?
Yeah. Do you have
all the money on the under?
All the money on the under.
Yes.
Why?
There's a feeling that Tampa Bay, the public perception is this is a high flying team, and that's what they were last year with Winston. This year, the Tampa Bay defense is awesome, And Tom Brady is overrated. Tom Brady statistically is the number 26 quarterback by QBR. He's even worse than that in terms of how accurate he's been versus what's expected. So it's the Tampa Bay D that is carrying this team. Chargers have a better defense than offense. I think the Chargers are probably the right side, plus seven.
Arizona, who had their first kind of stinker of the season, taking on a surprising Carolina team, travels back across country. Carolina's a three-point home dog. This is an early game for an Arizona team going across country. Who do you like at 51 is the over-under?
You know, this is more gut than anything else. Just looking at Arizona laying three on the road, this is a young team, and I don't think Murray's ready to be in that road favorite spot, especially with a lot of travel. I'd look to Carolina.
Jacksonville taking on Cincinnati. Jacksonville surprising out of the gate. Probably could have been 2-0. Now they're at 1-2 against the Cincinnati team that plays everybody close but could not win. And, you know, could have won if A.J. Green didn't call for the push-off week one against the Chargers. Overtime in week two, overtime in week three, a tie. They're 0-2-1. Do you like Cincinnati as a favorite for the first time this season?
I like Jacksonville, and it's about the extra rest. Jacksonville's had 10 days to prepare. The Bengals had to play four tough quarters against Philly and then the whole overtime as well. So with an extra energy edge, I'm on Jacksonville.
All right, Cleveland, who's 2-1 against Dallas that played a shootout last week in Seattle. Dallas at 1-2 at home, a 4.5-point favorite. Over-under is 56. What do you like in the Cleveland-Dallas game?
I passed this game. If I had to bet, I'd lean Cleveland. You know, Dallas could be 3-0. Dallas could be 0-3. That Rams game, Atlanta, Seattle, all of them coming down to late in the fourth quarter. You got to wonder if maybe that took a lot out of the Cowboys early in the year.
This line surprised me. Detroit's a 4-point home dog. Now, they're 1-2 on the year, but easily could have been 2-1 if not for one drop pass against the Chicago Bears. Against the New Orleans team that got lit up last week, and Drew Brees continues to show the inability to throw the ball or a lack of even desire to throw the ball downfield. I'm all over Detroit on the money line. Where are you in Detroit and New Orleans?
Yeah, if I had to look at it, I'd look at Detroit. Galladay's back. He's their best wide receiver, so this is only the second week he's back. That's big for Detroit. All that Brees has done is dink and dunk under 5 yards per target. To put that in perspective, last year, every quarterback had six or more for their attempted air yards. So historically low, Drew Brees, in terms of how far he's not throwing downfield.
Steve Fezzik joining us, Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. You can only find Steve Fezzik stuff at pregame.com, at Fezzik Sports on Twitter. And of course, you can hear him on Straight Out of Vegas, the show that follows ours. Two surprisingly winless teams. Both teams played in the playoffs last year in Minnesota and Houston. The Texans are 4-point favorites. I got the over-under at 53.5 right now. You think it's going to be a high-scoring affair?
I do think it's going to be high-scoring, and I'm worried that Minnesota won't be able to keep up because of missing the two practices. You know, Zimmer is a really good coach, so I hate to be away from him for any period of time during the week. In this Minnesota team, they have all these draft picks. They lost five starters on defense. Now they have two starters injured. So the young guys stepping up are really going to miss the practice time. Houston, I know they're 0-3. They played three Pittsburgh and the two best teams in the NFL. So it's excusable. I would only look to Houston.
I don't know where you are in Seattle traveling cross country, but it's an early game, right? It's a 10 a.m. start on the West Coast, 1 p.m. start on the East Coast. You're taking on Miami, who you go with the rest, right? Here's the team that's got way more rest in the 10 days off. Plus, they were in-state when they're playing in Jacksonville. Miami, a 6.5-point home dog to Seattle, a defense which has been pervious so far this year.
Yeah, I stole my thunder. Miami is my best bet for all the reasons that you just outlined. Also, Devontae Parker, he's been playing for Miami. He's their number one wide receiver, but he's been banged up, not close to 100%. I like that he was more active in the game against Jacksonville, and now he's got 10 days to get even healthier.
Baltimore-Washington feels like a mismatch. Vegas thinks so as well. 13.5 points as of now. I got on it as of 13. I don't think this game is close at all. Dwayne Haskins under pressure already. But the line is low, only 45.5. It's supposed to rain. Who do you like?
I'm going to pass this game. Baltimore is a bully. We saw against Kansas City, just not ready for primetime. But you put Baltimore up against a bad team or a mediocre team, and they have just been incredible how good their margin in terms of how much they cover by the last 12 games before Kansas City was 15.5. So they are greatly exceeding Vegas expectations, but I'll pass.
The lowest over-under of the week, I believe, is this Colts-Bears game in Chicago. It's supposed to rain, and the Bears are home dogs. Starting Nick Foles. Foles against Philip Rivers. Who do you like?
Yeah, so this total's down to 43.5, and this one has some weather as well. 15-mile-an-hour to 20-mile-an-hour winds. Probably the rain's going to stay away, but I think a dome team in Indianapolis that's been doing it with defense, not with offense, I think that the weather would throw the offense off just enough. I would look towards the Bears.
Giants taking on the Rams. Giants are 13-point dogs inside the dome in L.A. Rams feel like they had one stolen against them playing against Buffalo. Can the Rams cover the 13?
I'm going to pass. I want to do the Giants, but I had them last week. I learned my lesson. I want no part of them, but it's a sneaky bad spot for the Rams, who had to fly to Philly, back to L.A., then they had to fly out to Buffalo. And so back home for against an opponent they know that they should beat, they might be not 100%.
Kansas City, New England. 6.5 points. Kansas City short week, but at home against a surprising 2-1 Patriots squad. 53 is the over-under.
Kansas City's underrated. How is that possible with Mahomes and winning the Super Bowl? Well, you look at how Kansas City has done against the spread. They didn't cover against the Chargers, but they're 10-1 against the spread their last 11 games, and it's all about last year. Mahomes had the kneecap injury. He had ankle injury early in the year, and that defense under Spagnuolo got better. Vegas has not properly accounted for what a juggernaut this team is. I could only look to KC.
All right, two more. Buffalo, Vegas. Bills are 3-point road favorites. 52.5 is the over-under.
Josh Allen has really morphed into a good quarterback this year. He has always been very inaccurate, according to the stats, and this year he is an above-average quarterback in accuracy. Obviously, he can run as well, and the Raiders, they just don't have weapons right now. Williams, their number one wide receiver, out for the year, and they've got two great, well, solid rookie wide receivers. They're both injured, Ruggs and Edwards. I'd have to look to Buffalo.
Philly, San Francisco, Carson Wentz under duress, but they have a myriad of injuries, but so too does San Francisco. On the other hand, San Francisco just stomped the Giants. Returning back home, Sunday Night Football, who do you like?
Well, I bet against San Francisco the last 2 weeks, Doug. I'm 0-2, and maybe it's just the system that it doesn't matter who lines up behind center.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't seem to matter that there are no receivers. They can have cluster injuries all over. And Philly, boy, this is a circle of the wagons game for Philly, getting just called out for the tie against the Bengals. I'm going to pass.
All right. Steve Fezzik does a great job. Follow him on Twitter, at Fezzik Sports. And, of course, you can only find his stuff at pregame.com or hear him on Straight Outta Vegas, which begins in 19 minutes here on Fox Sports Radio. Steve, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We got breaking news. Let's get you to Dan Beyer.
Breaking news,
DB, what do you got,
Fox
bro?
Sports.
Doug, a report from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN says that Doc Rivers has reached an agreement to become the new head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers.
He was out of work for exactly 2 days? Two days? It's funny, I have a buddy who's a big realtor for athlete relocation. He was like, yeah, Doc's been trying to unload his L.A. houses for a while now. Maybe he knew this was coming. Anyway. I think it's a pretty good hire. I think it's a pretty good hire for Philadelphia. But interesting that Ty Lue was supposedly going to get that job. Instead, they're like, hey, wait, I'm going to go. You stay here. And you did just. I mean, honestly, like Doc Rivers right now has coached, what, the three biggest teams of the 80s? Only thing less than left is the Pistons. Remember the Sixers Celtics, Lakers. No, I mean Clippers. I'm sorry. My bad. Messed that one up. Let's delete that tape. L.A., close enough. But now he's in three biggest cities, three huge cities. Hasn't gotten to New York yet. That's next. All right, we'll react to that hire. Plus, we'll get you all of the stories of the day, including the scores. We got a tie game in Oakland. Winner gets the Astros. Why you should be rooting for the A's. Next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The Press.
4-4, bottom five in Oakland. If you want to see Mike Fiers against the Houston Astros like I do, you become an Oakland A's fan. What Roger do you got for me, Dan Beyer?
The other baseball game today had the Braves do this to the Reds.
1-1 pitch. Line drive, left field, retreating is Duvall. He's there. He's got it on the warning track. And the Braves have eliminated the Cincinnati Reds.
In two games on the Braves radio network, Adam Duvall catching the final out. Also had a two-run home run in the game, as did Marcelo Ozuna. So the Braves moving on, Reds going home without scoring a run.
That's pretty cool.
No, not if you're a Reds fan. No. They were expected to compete for a World Series this year. Good they got in, bad that they're home. That's part of the shortened playoffs.
It's over, Johnny.
For those that may have missed it, news just in from the NBA, Doc Rivers and the Sixers apparently agreeing to terms to make him the new head coach in Philadelphia.
No matter what, he is the second most popular Doc in the history of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Very, very good. Speaking of doctors,
developers,
NFL.
Developers,
no,
developers.
Not developers, Steve. I'm talking about doctors. NFL Chief Medical Officer Dr. Alan Sills says they aren't sure when the Titans facilities will be open, but they will only open when they are convinced there was no transmission. NFL earlier today postponing the Week 4 matchup between the Steelers and Titans. Doug likely to be played Week 8 with the Steelers-Ravens matchup that was scheduled for Week 8 to be played Week 7, because that's when the two teams were scheduled to have a bye, so then the Ravens would just have a bye in Week 8.
Very confusing how they're going to juggle that schedule. I'm still more confused by the fact the Jets and the Dolphins play each other with both having a bye week in the middle. I should ask Manish Mehta about that. That's the weirdest scheduling quirk I've ever seen.
The Atlanta Falcons will face the Packers on Monday, and then in Week 5 they'll be home against the Carolina Panthers. The Falcons announced that they will be using drones to clean Mercedes-Benz Stadium following their game against Carolina, because it's the first game this season that they will allow fans at the stands. So drones are going to be cleaning that facility.
HAL 9000 is going to be cleaning the stadium.
The Panthers unveiled on their website that they're using...
Does he know the HAL 9000
No,
reference?
I have no idea. Is that a...
It's a movie reference.
Yeah, I figured. I just didn't know which movie it was from.
HAL 9000.
I didn't think you guys were into robots.
What is it? 2001 Space Odyssey. 2001 Space. You ever seen it?
No, have not. Missed it.
It's a weird one, but one worth watching.
The
computer ends up having a mind of its own.
Panthers on their site.
Spoiler alert. I'm sorry about that one.
The Panthers on their official site did a piece on the robots that they're using to clean their locker rooms. A's have taken a lead on
Would
the White
Would you like
Sox.
To play thermonuclear war?
6-4.
Do you know that movie?
No.
War Games.
Mm.
What did you do as a child?
Not watch movies.
Apparently.
Yeah. No. Nope.
But you were in Wisconsin. It was cold, snowy outside. You just watched like Packer games on a loop?
Yeah, video games.
Video games.
Yeah. And Falcons
up, down, up, down, left, right, A, B, B, A.
Quickly, Julio Jones limited in practice today, as was Devontae Adams. Falcons, Packers, Monday night. Packers wide receiver Alan Lazard not in practice today because of a core muscle injury. That's the Press.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the Press.
I'm hungry. I'm going to rupture a core muscle here in a second. I'm so hungry. Man, what do we got tomorrow? Middle cough tomorrow? And Albert Breer tomorrow? Cool. I think the Jets win tonight, but. God, that's going to be a hard watch. Baseball will be fun. A's just played at 2 runs, so we're a couple innings away from Mike Fiers getting the Astros. He was awful today. They still got 2 aboard. Keep it right here on Fox Sports Radio. We'll keep you updated. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.